This morning we invite you to the book of Acts, chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. And we're going to begin reading with verse number 32, and we'll read the last few verses of what was just read for that of our text this morning. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him, and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This morning we want to continue on with that of our study upon that of the subject of the gospel. But whereas we have been looking at that of descriptive phrases in the scripture, which have to do with that of the gospel, this morning our subject has to do with that of the response to the gospel. Now, for the past several weeks, we've looked at several phrases. We considered the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that telling us that Jesus Christ is the focus of the gospel, that of his divinity and humanity there. And then we considered the gospel of God, God as being the author of the gospel and all authority. The gospel, God is the highest authority, and so therefore the gospel of Jesus Christ, it has all authority. The gospel of the grace of God tells us of how that gospel is a gracious, a glorious a message of God, from God. And then the gospel of the kingdom, the everlasting gospel last week, and the gospel of your salvation. Now, in the passage before us, we have the Apostle Paul, and he is at Athens. And Paul preaches the gospel here at Athens, and he is there in Athens waiting upon Silas and Timothy. And as he awaits that of their arrival, he looks out upon the city and he sees that this city is wholly given over to that of idolatry. And so Paul preaches the gospel. And we would say to you that, as is always the case, after the Apostle Paul had preached the gospel, the good news, there was a response. And that response was varied. And that is what we'll consider in that of our message this morning. However, before we get to that of the varied responses to the gospel, there's just a couple things that we want to draw your attention to in that of the main part of that of the passage. And the first thing is that there is a difference or a distinction between that of religion and regeneration. There is a distinction between that of religion and regeneration. They are not the same. The Athenians were very, very religious. You note in verse number 16 of the passage, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athenians, at Athens, the Spirit was stirred in him when he saw that the city wholly given to idolatry." The city was given over to that of cult images or idols, and that of the worship of that of these idols. These cult images or idols represented deities which they worshipped. Later on in the passage, in verse number 22, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Now, another translation for that of verse 22 is this: "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are religious." very religious. I perceive that in every way you are very religious. He goes on to say in verse 23, he says, you have that of an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. They didn't want to leave any God out. They worshipped many gods, or gods with little g. And lest they left one out, they had upon the altar this inscription, unto the unknown God, of which Paul goes on to say, I'm going to declare unto you. Now in our day, we see this everywhere around us. It doesn't matter who or what or how you worship, it's all right. At least you worship. At least you have that of a faith. Or at least you believe in that of a higher power. Pope Francis declared, all religions are true. To a chorus of thunderous applause, Pope Francis stated, because Muslims, Hindus, and Africans are also made in the very likeness and image of God, to hate them is to hate God. To reject them is to reject God and the gospel of Christ. Whether we worship at a church, a synagogue, a mosque, it does not matter. Whether we call God Jesus, Adonai, Allah, we all worship the same God of love. This truth is self-evident to all who have love and humility in their hearts. Now, beloved, that's what the Pope has declared. Well, beloved, let me say to you, that is doctrine from hell. Of course, preachers must not speak against it. Oh, no. Don't do that. Let me say to you, it didn't stop Paul. Having spoken to the Athenians and speaking of the fact that they had all of these idols and that they worshipped them, and even down to that of an altar where there was the inscription unto the unknown God, he says, I declare unto you that unknown God. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you that of who God is and who is the only God. They were religious. And beloved, I'm fearful that is what the case is in many of the churches throughout our land and throughout the world. Religious. I ask you the question, are you religious? Or can you truly say, yes, I do know who is that of the true and living God. And not only do I know who is the true and living God, I have that of a personal relationship with this true and living God through that of Jesus Christ. Let me say to you, the difference between religion or being religious and regeneration is life and death. It's light and darkness. It's that of, beloved, that of the almighty working of that of the Holy Spirit of God within the life of an individual. These Athenians were religious, they were ignorant, and they were dead spiritually. They did not know the true and living God. They did not know the true and living God revealed through that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Regeneration is the work of God, the Holy Spirit, and when it takes place, a mighty change takes place, beloved. Whereas there was darkness, there's light. Where there was deadness, there's life, beloved. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, who was a religious man, beloved, you must be born again. You must be born from above. Regeneration is that divine side of salvation. Conversion being that of the human side. Both like that of a coin. Both of them being together. You don't have one without the other. So Paul, he looked upon that of Athens and he saw here is not a city that is given over to that of idolatry. They're religious. They know not the true God. But then I would secondly draw your attention to that of something else that the Apostle Paul points out, and that is the tragedy of the close proximity to God, but ignorance of Him. The close proximity to God and the ignorance of Him. What do you mean, Brother Steve? Note with me, if you will, verse 24. He says, God that made the world. He says, I'm going to declare unto you the unknown God. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Beloved, just look around you. The evidence of the reality of God is everywhere you look. The earth upon which we live, the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the trees and the flowers, the animals. And as one looks up into that of the heavens, you see that of the sun, that of the moon and the stars. Beloved, they all declare, they all shout out, there is a Creator. But beloved, that's all around us. But there's something else that we would draw your attention to, and that is yourself. That is yourself. The fact that you are here today, the fact that you are breathing, that you have life, that of all the intricacies of that of your human body, beloved, all shout out and declare, beloved, that you are a created being and that there is someone who is much higher, who has much more power and ability than you, that brought you into this world. You think of a birth of a child. Miraculous. Even though many would tell us, well, you don't need to worry about it. get rid of them. If you don't want it, just kill it. Beloved, life. That is the birth of a baby, beloved, is indeed that of a miracle. A miracle, a life. That has been given. And beloved, who is the giver of it? None other than God. In Him we live and move and have that of our being. God is everywhere. He's right here today. He's right here in our midst. Right now. Thirdly, I would have you consider the fact that God has revealed Himself not only through creation, but He has revealed Himself, beloved, through His Word, the revelation that we have, the Bible, and He is revealed to us in and through Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul tells these Athenians, if you note in the next few verses of that of the passage. In verse 29, he says, "For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereas He has given assurance to all men in that He has raised Him from the dead." Beloved, in these verses, the Apostle Paul sets before that of these Athenians the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that God is going to judge this world and judge this world through that of Jesus Christ. The man, Jesus Christ. You know, man, Paul describes us as an offspring of God. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We have a moral consciousness, likeness, although by the fall that consciousness and likeness has been defiled. But God has revealed Himself. And has revealed that through Jesus Christ there is hope. There is hope. In verse 32, it says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from them among them, howbeit a certain man certain men clave unto him and believed." Here in these verses, we have three responses given to that of the message of Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul proclaimed to these Athenians. The message declaring that of the true and living God. His revelation through that of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That of the truth that He is going to judge this world through this man Jesus Christ, whom He has raised from the dead. And what were those responses? As I said in the beginning of that of the message, as always, there is a response. There's always a response to the gospel. Here in that of the passage which is before us, the first one that we see is that of mocking, or that of ridiculing. We're told here that when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Some ridiculed. Really? You mean really that the dead are going to rise? You mean really this man who you tell us about, Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead? Let me ask you. Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Do you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead? And do you believe that one day that all men and women, from that of Adam to the end, will raise from the dead and stand before a holy and just God? Or do you believe, well, you know, death, it ends it all. That's it. Over in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 28, we have these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself." "And has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Beloved, there's going to be a resurrection. And every man, woman, born, beloved, is going to rise from the dead. They're either going to be in that of that resurrection unto life, or they're going to be in that resurrection which is unto damnation. Which will you be a part of? Going back to our passage here, these passages tell us that some, when they heard of the resurrection, mocked. They ridiculed. You know, really? You think someone who's dead is going to come up from the dead? Really? And then we're told that others said, "We will hear thee again of this." They said, "Another time." Procrastination. "We'll hear you again, and then we'll think about it." They put it off for another day. Well, let me say to you, the wise man Solomon said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring." You don't know what you don't know whether you're going to be here tomorrow. Matter of fact, you don't know whether you're going to be here an hour from now, or 5 minutes from now. Felix trembled at the word which Paul spoke in Acts chapter 23. Paul spoke of that of judgment. Judgment to come, and of the resurrection, and of the hope in Jesus Christ. It was King Agrippa which said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." Felix said, "Go thy way, I'll hear thee another day." How will it be with you today? Will you follow in the same steps of King Agrippa or in that of Felix, who said, "Go away, I'll hear thee another day"? Neither one of them, are we told from Scripture, ever had the next day. Lastly, we're told that some believe. Some believed. Hallelujah. Some believed the message. And what was that message, beloved? It was a message of the true God, the Lord of all, the Creator, and how that all men are accountable unto Him, and how that He's going to one day judge this world through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you this morning, man's only hope is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Let's stand. Let's have a closing hymn. On the back of your bulletin there is an old hymn. I've sung here before. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly pathway leads. All who linger, all who fall. Sing it
over death, over Satan. Lord, we do praise you, that he is exalted to thy right hand, that he possesseth all power in heaven and in earth. Lord, we do await his coming, his revelation in power and great glory. We pray that you would help us to fix our affections upon things above, not upon the things of this world. Lord, may each of us, Lord, find joy and peace in the gospel, the good news of all that Christ has accomplished. Lord, may our faith rest in him alone and not in the arm of the flesh or in ourselves. Father, we do pray now that you would bless your word to each of our hearts. Lord, bless, Lord, your people. Guide and direct us. Lord, may we know your fellowship throughout the week. Lord, may we live in the power of thy Holy Spirit. We pray this all in Jesus' name.